Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on an analysis of predictions for 2010 when we come back. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, you know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." Well, in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. Now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Well, now in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach in our Mosaic Law School. We conduct that school twice a year here at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. It doesn't cost anything. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our school, the Mosaic Law, is available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, georgegordon.org, then go to the archives page and download it. All right, we're taking a look at some predictions that were made in 2010. I reported on them in June, I believe it was, of 2010, and then I saved the predictions. And I just went through them. We just went through 24. I said there was 23, but I discovered one I missed. And there's 24 of these guys. 24 newsletter writers, college professors, newspapers like the Wall Street Journal. They made 137 predictions for the year 2010. And out of those 137 predictions, 11 of the gurus scored zero. They didn't get a single prediction right. 11. That's 46% got zero. 46%, another 11 scored 50% right or less. Now, if you score 50%, that means you could have flipped a coin and came to that conclusion. And only two out of 24 scored above 50%. One of them scored 60 and the other one scored 75. So for practical purposes, if you wanted to analyze the predictions that we read those predictions, like the price of gold is going up, the stock market's going down, the price of silver will outperform gold, and so on. All of those 137 predictions were predicated upon a time frame. They all had a date associated with them. And that's what made them in error. And it isn't that the guy's prediction for the future, based upon the statistics, based upon the history, based upon the facts at hand, are incorrect. In fact, they're all correct. And I showed you that with the Figge report. Figge did the same thing. They made a number of mathematical calculations, and they said, here's what's going to happen. But the thing that changes is the Federal Reserve changes the interest rates. Or the Treasury does this or that, or Congress does this or that, or something else, or the President, or some other external event transpires, and it postpones it for a while. I would imagine that the fall of the Roman Empire was prefaced by gurus who were saying, if we keep doing this, the Roman Empire will collapse like Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and Greece, if we don't shape up and straighten up. Imagine there were predictions of these dire consequences occurring in 300 and 350 and 400 and 450, and they didn't happen. But in 476 AD, the Roman Empire collapsed. There's an actual date that you can put on it right now, looking back. So you can put a date right on it, 476 AD. That was the last year of the Roman Empire. Now, the American Empire has replaced the British Empire. Prior to World War II, Great Britain was the number one empire in the world. The sun never set on the British Empire. Well, America today has troops. We have military bases with troops stationed in 135 countries. Now, there's 209 countries in the world. 209. That means that we've got troops stationed in 65% of the countries on planet Earth. We have occupation forces in 65% of the countries. It's unsustainable because the military costs involved. And that's what happened to Rome. The military costs involved. The debt that was involved. The debasing of the currency. The degeneration of morals. And the institution of bribes and bribery and corruption in government. The decline of religion and so on. These were the factors that were involved in the collapse of the Roman Empire. In fact, when we look through history, we find that those five elements, those five causes, are present in every one of these collapses, including America and Great Britain and Germany and so on. So that being the case, it's a matter of looking at history and coming to a conclusion based upon, well, where are we in the march of history? And the answer is it's about 5 minutes to midnight. Right at the door. Now, when we add in Bible prophecy, that's Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, that's where the Messiah's disciples came to him and said, now tell us, when is the end of the age? When's the end of the world? And he said, well, gather around, boys and girls, and I'll tell you. And he did. And we see that all of those elements are in play right now today. But when asked the year, he said, well, no man knows the day or the hour save for the Father, and he hasn't told me. Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour. Well, that's what he said. You know, go take it up with him. He said, I don't know. And I have students constantly, and people call here, and they want to know, well, Mr. Gordon, when are all these things going to happen? And I tell them, I don't know. But today is one day closer than yesterday. And I can read the tea leaves. I mean, I can read these prognostications, 137 of them, but I got a better story for you than that. And now I'm going to tell you that your government also knows about these 137 problems, these predictions. And the government, unlike these 24 prognosticators, doesn't put a date on it. And in fact, if you press them, they'll say, no, no, that's not true, and that'll never happen that way, and you don't think that these things are going to happen. And you can just put that out of your mind. There's going to be full employment. The government, in their official publications, in their official pronouncements, the president, listen to the president, listen to your Congress and your congressional leaders. They're all telling you, hey, follow us, and we're going to lead you out of this morass. They might have a disagreement between Republicans and Democrats as to how we should get out of this. But none of them are telling you, hey, the economy is going to collapse, that we're going into national captivity. War is coming. There is no peace, peace. Forget about peace. You can prepare for war. Famine's coming. Rationing is coming. See, they don't tell you that. And if you ask them, they deny it. But Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. They're preparing for all 137. I'm going to show you that right now. Listen to this. There are now over 800 prison camps in the United States. And they're all fully operational, and they're ready to receive prisoners. They're all staffed. They even are surrounded by full-time guards. But they're all empty. And these camps are to be operated by FEMA. That's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. When martial law needs to be implemented in the United States. And all it would take is a presidential signature on a proclamation and the Attorney General's signature on a warrant to which a list of names is attached. Now just ask yourself if you really want to be on that list. The Rex 84 program was established on the reasoning that if a mass exodus of illegal aliens crossed the Mexican-U.S. border, they would be quickly rounded up and detained in detention centers by FEMA. Rex 84 allowed many military bases to be closed down and to be turned into prisons. Operation Cable Splicer and Garden Plot are the two sub-programs which will be implemented once the Rex 84 program is initiated for its proper purpose. Garden Plot is the program to control the population. Cable Splicer is the program for an orderly takeover of the state and local governments by the federal government. FEMA is the executive arm of the coming police state and thus will head up all operations. The presidential executive orders already listed on the Federal Register are also part of the legal framework for this operation. Now, I should point out, I did a series of programs here the other day, and I told you about total onslaught. It should be, as I speak, just about up and online. Over the past 90 days, I've been behind. I haven't had the current programs up online. They've been lagging for 3 or 4 weeks. That should, by the first of the year, be just about up to zero. We should be up to zero COD and on schedule. So go back, and if you haven't seen it yet, take a look at this series of programs that I did on total onslaught. And the fellow that put those out, his name is Walter Veith, V-E-I-T-H. And in that series of programs, he points out that the model for the German SS came from the Catholic Jesuits. The model for FEMA comes from the Catholic Jesuits. So you can expect the same kind of tyranny that Roman Catholicism brought upon us in the Middle Ages, burning us to death in barns, killing us, burning us at the stake, is coming again. In fact, it's promised. I mean, we can't miss. This is a slam dunk. In fact, they, the powers that be, have said they're going to kill all the Christians in the world, that they're going to eliminate them. Well, they're going to eliminate all the Christians in the world that don't toe the mark, that don't fit in to Christian, or in this case, world theology. And the world theology is going to be Mithraism. Mithraism, which is already being practiced by everybody in the world. Mithraic religion. So we're going to have a one-world government with a one-world economy, a one-world religion. Everything is going to be honky-dory. Everybody's going to have a chip in his hand and one in his forehead. Everything's going to be great. You're going to love it. Well, that's the billing for it. So tuck that one away in your heart, and let's see if that doesn't come to pass. That's what Walter Vey says, based upon what we see historically. So we go back in history and we say, well, what happened before? And if the same people that brought us this tyranny in the Middle Ages are put back in power, don't you think they'll bring back the same tyranny that they performed in the Middle Ages? Now, the camps all have railroad facilities, as well as roads leading to and from the detention facilities. Many also have an airport nearby. The majority of the camps can house a population of 20,000 prisoners. Currently, the largest of these facilities is just outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. The Alaskan facility is a massive mental health facility and can hold approximately 2 million people. 2 million. Now, if we just took that number, 20,000, that's 20,000 times 800, that's 16 million. The biggest of them can handle 2 million by itself. Your government believes that they're going to need to arrest and house upwards of 16 million Americans here in this country. How do I know that? Well, that's what they're preparing for. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, well, but where are these? I'm going to give you the names and addresses, and you can go out right where you're living today. You can go right out and look at your facility. And you people up there in Fairbanks, where's yours located? The camps all have railroad facilities. The Alaskan facility is a massive mental health facility and can hold approximately 2 million. My boy Ted first alerted me to this back in 1986, maybe 87. When he was in the Army, he was stationed up in Alaska at, I believe it was Elmendorf Air Force Base. He called me one night on the phone. He says, Dad, I asked him, what are you doing? He says, well, Dad, I'm out here working, building a great big camp. Barracks we're building in here and building a big fence around it. And he said, it's humongous. Covers many square miles. I said, building a fence. I said, Ted, which way does the barbed wire on top of the fence point? And he said, in. I said, okay. Well, that tells you what you're building. You're building a housing facility for prisoners. You know? See how simple that is? Now, you go to a military base and they have a fence around it. And the barbed wire is pointed out. That's to keep bad guys out. They put gates in there with guards to keep the bad guys out. See, we presume the good guys, the Army guys, the Air Force guys, are inside the perimeter. Now, when you put the barbed wire facing in and you put guards around there, that's to keep the people in. So the bad guys are on the inside. See how simple that is? Now let's review the justification for these actions taken. The Cable Spricer program is the program for an orderly takeover of state and local governments by the federal government. FEMA is the executive arm of the coming police state and thus will head up all the operations. The presidential executive orders already listed on the Federal Register are also part of the legal framework for this operation. Executive orders associated with FEMA that would suspend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. These executive orders have been on record for nearly 30 years and can be enacted by the stroke of a presidential pen. So Executive Order 10990 allows the government to take over all modes of transportation and control of highways and seaports. Executive Order 10995 allows the government to seize and control the communication media. Executive Order 10997 allows the government to take over all electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuels, and minerals. Executive Order 10998 allows the government to seize all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, vehicles of any kind, and total control over all highways, seaports, and waterways. Executive Order 10999 allows the government to take over all food, resources, and farms. Executive Order 11000 allows the government to mobilize civilians into work brigades under government supervision. Boy, that's just plain slavery right there. I mean, you know, if somebody can come over to you and say, hey, you, here's a shovel, follow me, start digging. That's called slavery. Executive Order 11001 allows the government to take over all health, education, and welfare functions. Executive Order 11002 designates the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. So they're not going to Mickey Mouse around. Executive Order 11002 is simply going to register everybody, period. Executive Order 11003 allows the government to take over all airports and aircraft, including commercial aircraft. Executive Order 11004 allows the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, build new housing with public funds, designate areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations. I like that. Designate areas to be abandoned. So they'll simply come in here and say, just like I told you in the last program. So they came over here during the Civil War under martial law and told all the people in the tier of counties, that's the county that borders, all those counties that border Kansas, from there all the way up to St. Joseph. And the army just came in there and said, out. If we catch you in here, we'll shoot you on sight. So the people all left. And that's what Executive Order 11004 provides for. We can relocate communities. We'll just take those communities and relocate them. We can build new housing with public funds. A bunch of Cabrini Greens. And then designate areas to be abandoned and establish new locations for populations. Maybe the concentration camp, or it may be we're just going to move you 300 miles somewhere else. Executive Order 11005 allows the government to take over railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. Public storage facilities. You know all these storage thingies that you've got out there, you know? They can just come in there and take those over. And then they can search them, can't they? Executive Order 11,051 specifies the responsibility of the Office of Emergency Management Planning and gives authorization to put all executive orders into effect in times of increased international tensions and economic or financial crises. Now, if you want to know what the modality could be, ordinarily, martial law is put into operation in local areas where there's a flood, forest fire, or, you know, some natural catastrophe like a Hurricane Katrina or something like that. Now, even in Hurricane Katrina, they didn't have to declare martial law, although the mayor did. He did declare martial law, but just for a day or two. And then they backed off of that. But here's what we're dealing with here. If there's an economic collapse, well, that's an emergency, isn't it? That could be the trigger for martial law. Now, once martial law is put into play, the Constitution is suspended. It becomes military. That's why they call it martial. It's just military law. When you're in the military, all of you military people know that, you know, when somebody speaks, you just salute and answer, yes, sir, unless you're a Marine. And in that case, you answer, sir, yes, sir. See? The rest of us, it's just yes, sir. But now, when that happens, you know, you you get caught out here on the highway, and the highway patrolman stops you, and you say to him, what's your probable cause? And you're on your way to a FEMA camp. See how simple that is? Now, today, while we have civil rights, you can say to the policeman, what's your probable cause? And I demand all of my rights at all times. And that's because you've got rights, but there's no rights involved now with martial law. So tuck that one away in your heart, and so that you understand how the game is going to be played. So for all of you patriots out there, you know, and you've got your rights and so on, you do not have a right to keep and bear arms under martial law. You do not have a right to travel from here to there under martial law. And so things like rights to travel, rights to an attorney, rights to due process and equal protection. No, you can be locked up in one of these FEMA camps and never see daylight again. So, you know, make up your mind that this is the way the game is going to be played. Now, the reason I bring this to your attention is because over the years, these conservative newsletter writers and others like them, you know, people that are economists, conservative economists, they don't have to be writing a newsletter, conservative newspapers, magazines, book writers, theologians like Tex Mar and others, they've been predicting some really dire consequences for America, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. The four countries that got away in World War II with no direct or collateral damage. I mean, we went through the war with a little inconvenience. Now, the British and the French, the rest of the Israelite family, now, they paid dearly in World War II and in World War I. Now it's our turn. America, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, we're going to get our comeuppance this time around. And you can read about that in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel has that book is written for the United States of America primarily, but Canada and Australia are right there with us. Next week I'm going to answer that question. I had a listener called in. He said, what is this British Israelism stuff you're talking about all the time? Next week I'm going to tell you the answer to that. But this week I wanted to introduce you to this concept that we've been told and warned and warned and warned. We've been warned by the prophets, warned by Jesus, warned by contemporaries, economists, newsletter writers, and others. Hey, these guys are serious. Now, I'm giving you the executive orders. These boys in office, of the 137 things that I raised in these first four or five programs, I said, these are what these newsletter writers are saying is going to happen. All 137 of them are already prepared for by these FEMA orders. They're prepared for economic collapse, chaos. They're prepared for martial law. They've got compounds. They've got housing already built and prepared for up to 16 million people. You know, they're not going to take all the people of America and lock them up in a prison. But 16% is a pretty sizable bunch. They told us the other day that we had 308 million. So if we take 16 and divide that by 308, that's 5%. So your government believes that 5% of us, one person out of every 20 in the nation, is going to have to be locked up, that they're going to be problems, they're going to be problematic. And they've already got the facilities for it. What's going to cause you people to create civil unrest? Well, you know, when your unemployment runs out, when there's no more mayonnaise in Walmart, when there's no gasoline, and you can't get from here to there. I mean, this is going to cause you people to get upset, and you're going to go out in the streets, and you're going to burn cars, and raise hell and break windows out of Bank of America and so on. And when you do, they're going to come round you up, put you in one of these camps. And that's just special. All right, now Executive Order 11051 specifies the responsibility of the Office of Emergency Planning and gives authorization to put all of these executive orders into effect in times of increased international tensions and economic or financial crises. So now we've been through financial crises number one. Now there's the big one. The big kahuna is coming. And so far, we have discovered that our house values are worth about 40 to 50% of what we thought they were worth. Now we're going to find out that the commercial real estate is worth probably about the same. And that's going to cause a lot of foreclosures and a lot of disruption in the economy. That's going to cause a lot of lack of confidence. And then the bond market will collapse. And then the pension system will collapse. Then the municipal bond system will collapse. And during all of this economic chaos that's going on, the government then has to do something to maintain order, to maintain power. You know, nothing personal. It's just that, you know, we can't have people busting out Bank of America's windows and raising hell with Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan now, can we? So now the powers that be have to enlist the services of the military to keep order here in the United States. This is a part of this New World Order program. And I was impressed that they're ready. I was impressed that the government knows more about all the bad stuff that's coming down on us than we do. And then our guys who are telling us about the bad stuff that's coming down on us, they tell us it's coming in 2008, 9, or 10. They hang labels on it, for dates on it, and then it doesn't happen. You know, like Y2K. That discourages all of us, so we go back to, well, we've heard that story before. And so our opponents, that's our government and the New World Order crowd, then they just rake in a hell of a propaganda blitz on this, or a propaganda bonanza, because now none of us are going to raise a hand to prepare to take care of ourselves, which now makes us totally vulnerable. You don't have any open pollinated seeds. You can't produce your own food. You can only go down and get a chip in your hand to get a ration card so that you can get on food stamps and welfare. It's the only solution you've got. You can't feed yourself. 42 million Americans are on food stamps. 42 million. Now, in 1940, before we had food stamps, we had 42 million Americans who were planting victory gardens and feeding themselves in the cities of America. Today, we've lost our ability to feed ourselves. Tuck that one away in your heart and see where that leads you. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417 573-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate by endorsing and recommending us. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right. We are talking about an analysis of predictions or prophecies for the year 2010. There were 137 of them contained in this Rents article. I delivered the article to you in June, and now I just delivered you the article in December, and I've now given you the statistical report on the accuracy of these predictions for 2010. And the accuracy is under 50%, 92% of the predictions, under 50% for naming 2010 as that pivotal year. Yet it was not that pivotal year. Of the 137 events that were described and predicted for 2010, your government, by executive order, over the past 30 years, has prepared itself physically, economically, and militarily for every one of those 137 eventualities that are being predicted by such sources as Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, the Wall Street Journal, they're not exactly pikers, Peter Schiff. All these guys made these 137 predictions, and Barack Obama, the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, the Army, Navy, Marines, and the Coast Guard are all prepared for, including FEMA, with 800 prison camps prepared to take 5% of our population, 16 million people, into custody under martial law. Ain't that just real special? Now, here's executive order. Let's see, now I've got to back up a page here. Yeah, executive order 11,310 says that it grants authority to the Department of Justice to enforce the plans set out in executive orders to institute industrial support, to establish judicial and legislative liaison, to control all aliens, to operate penal and correctional institutions, and to advise and assist the president. Executive Order 11,049 assigns emergency preparedness function to federal departments and agencies, consolidating 21 operative executive orders issued over a 15-year period. Executive Order 11,921 allows the Federal Emergency Preparedness Agency to develop plans to establish control over the mechanisms of production and distribution of energy sources, wages, salaries, credit, and the flow of money in U.S. financial institutions in any undefined national emergency. It also provides that when a state of emergency is declared by the President, Congress cannot review the action for 6 months. Isn't that special? The Federal Emergency Management Agency has broad powers in every aspect of the nation. General Frank Salzito, chief of FEMA's Civil Security Division, stated in a 1983 conference that he saw FEMA's role as a new frontier in the protection of individual and governmental leaders from assassination and of civil and military installations from sabotage and or attack, as well as prevention of dissident groups from gaining access to the United States. Opinion, or a global audience in times of crisis. FEMA's powers were consolidated by President Carter to incorporate, and here's the list, the National Security Act of 1947, which allows for the strategic relocation of industries, services, government, and other essential economic activities, and to rationalize the requirements for manpower resources and production facilities. It grants FEMA the power to consolidate the 1950 Defense Production Act and gives the president sweeping powers over all aspects of the economy. The Act of August 29, 1916 authorizes the Secretary of the Army in time of war to take possession of any transportation system for transporting troops, material, or any other purpose related to the emergency. Do you remember that President Bush declared this war on terror a war? And then followed it up with a war in Afghanistan and a war in Iraq? These people have been prepared for this collapse since President Bush took office. Yeah, think about it. Pay attention. They've been prepared for this. If any time from 2001, when President Bush took office, until last night at 5 o'clock, if any one of these events had transpired, everything was in place. They're ready. Now, so far, they've been able to keep the lid on the pressure cooker. But your government, your Pentagon, your CIA, your Congress, your president, everybody knows that this is unsustainable. They've been telling you that. Hell, even the mainstream press is telling you that all of these events are unsustainable. That means in layman's language, they're coming to an end. When are they coming to an end? I don't know. And neither do any of the other gurus. If anybody would have a good idea as to when it's going to end, it would be the President of the United States, the Cabinet, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Bank for International Settlements, and the World Bank. And maybe Ben Bernanke, he might be cut in on the secret. Maybe some of the central bankers around the world, they might be in on the program. But little guys like us down here at the bottom, we don't know any more than we read in the papers. That's what Will Rogers told us, remember? And what we read in our papers is the managed news that we're being taught and trained to accept by Brian Williams, Katie Couric, and Diane Sawyer. Now, there's another source of information, and I've been bringing that to your attention now for several years. These underground newsletters are telling you what's coming down. They're telling the Joe Sixpacks and the Sally Housewives. If you've got a 401k, a Kroeg plan, you know, one of these retirement programs, your government is going to seize that shortly. It doesn't take martial law to seize it. It doesn't take some congressional act. The Congress is already working right now to enact legislation to merge all of these retirement programs together. I've reported this to you, and I'm telling you again. All of the 50 states have pension programs. 35 of those 50 states, their pension programs are insolvent. That's the end of the report. Now, you take all the Krug programs and all these retirements, private retirement, there's $6 trillion in there. Your government needs the $6 trillion, and they're going to take it by statute. Are they going to take it in 2011? I don't know. 2012? I don't know. 2013? I don't know. How do I know they're going to take it? Because that's what they did in Brazil. That's what they did in Uruguay. That's what governments have done from time immemorial. When they reach desperation, they just come and take. Now, just because they haven't done that yet in the United States doesn't mean they're not going to. That's because so far they've been able to keep the lid on the pressure cooker. As long as they can keep the lid on the cooker, they don't need to. But these executive orders are telling you plainly, we're prepared. We're prepared for chaos. We're prepared for economic collapse. We're prepared for rationing. We're prepared for a cutoff of oil supplies to the United States. We know what to do, and we know how to do it. But the rest of us are sitting out here. How much gasoline have you got stockpiled, Bob? You know, how much food have you got over there in your pantry, Tom? The answer is 3 days in the refrigerator and as much gas as I've got in my gas tank. That's it. When this comes down on you, it'll come down on you like a ton of bricks, and you will be totally immobilized. Totally helpless. And that's the bottom line. Now, there's talk out here in the Patriot community, well, Americans have their guns. Yeah. And your federal government has the names and addresses of everybody in the country that's got one of them. How do you like that? And when this comes down, they're going to declare martial law. And if you give anybody in authority 1 ounce of excuse, you're going off to one of the camps. And, you know, if you're a good guy and you know, you toe the mark and shut your mouth, and you know, a few guys will be released from the camps. Once they've checked you out and found out that you're docile and that you're not a threat, they'll let you go. All of you people that are a threat, they've already got your number, your name and address. And there's a good possibility that 3 days before this martial law thing comes, before you can wake up to reality here, you may just be taken in the middle of the night. All the potential leaders in the country, anybody that's got a newsletter, a radio program, like Rush Limbaugh, I don't know, he might be an insider, but, you know, anybody that's out there telling you which end is up, hell, those guys may just disappear. So that by the time martial law is declared, you don't have any leaders left. And they're taking over all the airwaves. You can rest assured that little Georgie isn't going to be on the radio saying, hey, let me tell you what's coming down and here's what... No, that ain't going to happen. In fact, in the scripture, the God himself says there's going to be a famine of the word. Famine. It's going to be shut off by martial law. They're going to take over all of the news media. They've already got control of most of it. That's already in the bag. Now all they got to do is shut up the few guys that's on the internet. The government controls the internet, then close that down just like China did the other day. They'll regulate every word that's spoken over the internet. And the first guy that opens his mouth and starts talking about democracy and BS is going right straight to a camp. And when they clamp this down, see, the average Joe Sixpack says, well, I'll jump in my station wagon with my 30-06 and my family, and we'll just drive up into the mountains and live off the land. Those are people that haven't got a lick of sense, my old granddaddy used to say. Well, that fool ain't got a lick of sense. And we've already been through that time or two here in this country. Didn't work then. Won't work now. Tain't going to work when you get ready to do it. Now, there is some common sense preparation that needs to be made, and I've been bringing that to your attention over the years, you know, that you need to be paying attention to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Pay attention to who's doing this to us and how he's going to execute this. This is God himself. He says, hey, listen, I've had about a belly full of you guys, and I'm going to take action now. Now, there are some people that he says he's going to protect. You'll see those over in Revelation 3:10. It says, now, you keep my statutes, judgments, and commandments, and do what I tell you. I'll protect you from this. But if you don't, now, you rest assured, I'm going to eat your lunch. But there's more to these executive orders. These executive orders now are really wild. These guys have prepared every item on that 137 items that I just read to you. Every one of those is covered by one of these executive orders. That's the thing that blew my mind when I did the analysis of this. I said, oh my God, President Obama is better prepared than Bob Chapman. And he's been telling us and warning us for 40 years, for crying out loud. Nobody listens to Bob, of course, but the president, and, you know, by extension, the Congress and the Pentagon and all the people that need to know, these guys have got the orders, they've got the laws, they've got the rules, the regulations, they've got the hardware, the money, they've got the camps, they've got everything all lined up. All of their ducks are in a row. All the ducks are in a row. The president knows exactly what he's going to do. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, knows exactly what she's going to do. Do they know that there's going to be an economic collapse? Do they know there's going to be chaos in the streets? Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. How do I know that? The executive orders. They tell us. We're ready for it. Bring them on, as old George would say. Hey, bring them on. We're ready. International Emergency Economic Powers Act enables the president to seize the property of a foreign country or national. These powers were transferred to FEMA in a sweeping consolidation in 1979. Hey, isn't that special? All right, now where are these camps? You know, where do these camps exist? Well, let me tell you. Alabama. Opelika, O-P-E-L-I-K-A. I don't know how to pronounce that word there, but it's O-P-E-L-I-K-A. Military compound either in or very near town. So there's a town there in Alabama. Aliceville, World War II German POW camp. Capacity, 15,000. Fort McClellan, Anniston. Opposite side of town from the Army Depot. Maxwell Air Force Base, Montgomery, Alabama, civilian prison camp established under Operation Garden Plot, currently operating with support staff and small inmate population. Talladega, federal prison, satellite camp. There you are, Alabama. There's where yours are located. Alaska, the wilderness east of Anchorage. That's where my boy Ted was working. No roads, air and railroad access only. Estimated capacity, 500,000. Elmendorf Air Force Base. Northeast area of Anchorage. Far end of base. Garden Plot facility. Ellison Air Force Base. It's E-I-E-L-S-O-N. Eielson. I guess it's Eielson Air Force Base. Base southeast of Fairbanks, Operation Garden Plot facility, and Fort Wainwright, east of Fairbanks. Hey, if the Russians have their Siberia, well, the Americans have their Alaska. Now, notice how many. They got 500,000. They got, in one, they've got room for 2 million, and another one, they got room for 500,000. My guess would be that The hardcore guys, you know, the guys that are a real threat, are going to Alaska. And why is that? Well, because even if you escape, the wilderness will swallow you up and kill you. I mean, it's like, okay, so you escape from Stalag 47 in Siberia. Now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do, Bobby? Now, here in the United States, if you escape in Alabama, you know, there's a good possibility that you could survive out there in the bush, survive out there like in Louisiana. I mean, if you could get up there into the swamps, you know, assuming you could survive in the swamps, you could probably make it up there. They'll never be able to find you. Now, they've covered their bases. I mean, these guys are smart. You got to give credit where credit's due. Arizona, listen to this. I got time, I guess, for one more here. Arizona. Fort Huachuca, Huachuca, 20 miles from the Mexican border, 30 miles from Nogales. It's a Rex 84 facility. Pinal County on the Gila River, World War II Japanese detention camp, may be renovated. Yuma County, Colorado River, site of former Japanese detention camp near Proving Grounds. This site was completely removed in 1990, according to some reports. Phoenix, federal prison satellite camp, main federal facility expanded. Florence, World War II prison camp, now renovated and operational with a staff and 400 prisoners. Operational capacity, 3,500. Wickenburg, airport is ready for conversion, total capacity unknown. Davis, Monthan Air Force Base, Tucson, fully staffed and presently holding prisoners. Sedona, site of a possible UN base. Arkansas, Fort Chaffee, near Fort Smith, Arkansas, has new runway for aircraft. New camp facility with cap of 40,000 prisoners, Pine Bluff Arsenal. This location also is the repository for B to Z nerve agent, which causes sleepiness, dizziness, stupor. Admitted use is for civilian control. Jerome, Chicot, Drew counties, site of World War II Japanese camps. Rower, R-O-H-W-E-R, in Deschia County, site of World War II Japanese camps, Blytheville Air Force Base, closed air base now being used as a camp. New wooden barracks have been constructed at this location. Classic decorations, guard towers, barbed wire, high fences. Berryville, FEMA facility, located east of Eureka Springs off Highway 62. Omaha, northeast of Berryville near Missouri State Line on Highway 65, south of the old wood processing plant. Possible crematory facility. Hey, possible crematory facility. God, this is almost like a replay of World War II, isn't it? All right, I'm going to put a mark right here in the margin here with Arkansas. We'll start with California next time. Every one of the 50 states, well, I don't know that it's every one, but nearly all of the 50 states are listed here with the locations, for crying out loud. 800 of these bases around the country. So our government's prepared, and the rest of us are not. So I thought I'd bring this to your attention and point out that next time you're reading one of the newsletters, maybe we should pay closer attention. Hey, I'm running out of time. I've got to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, that's it. Time's up. I got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night.